Welcome back to Issues and Ideas. Expectations placed upon teachers appear to the, at least the person outside looking in, to be something that would obviously be prepared for and within the abilities of the person who has willingly decided to teach. My next guest with her new best-selling book brings you into the mechanics, the foundation, even the emotions of teaching. You'll also learn about the challenges that present themselves regarding the determination of just who a successful teacher is and how they become that. Her book is Building a Better Teacher. She is the co-founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of Chalkbeat, Elizabeth Green. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Chalkbeat is on the web at chalkbeat.org. If you are a parent or really a taxpayer, because, you know, taxpayers do fund the education system, no matter where you are in the nation, Chalkbeat is a great resource of information about the education system, schools, and you might just find stories about your school district popping up in there from time to time, too. Regarding building a better teacher, Elizabeth, when you wrote this book, were you looking to present a message and, I guess, a lesson for the teacher, for parents, or for both?
I think for both. I'm not a teacher myself. I'm a journalist covering education, and I think that all of us, whether it's policymakers, parents, citizens who are on the outside of the classroom, really misunderstand what it means to teach well and what our role can be in helping teachers do a better job. So I experienced in my reporting a real change in my own understanding that I wanted to share with others.
And when it comes to teaching, you know, for example, with athlete, we see on the playing field, well, that's natural born talents that a coach was able to refine and build a superstar. A comedian, they always say you're born funny. Funny can't be taught. Is teaching and the ability of teaching something that's a natural that comes within, or is it something that needs to be crafted, refined, and expanded upon?
This is the big difference between what I think most of us assume and what turns out to be the case. So we look at teachers who are really effective and we think there must be just something about them that makes them a great teacher that's born. Maybe it's their personality. Maybe it's that they're an extrovert. They have strong relationships with other people. They're really good with children. But it turns out that there's no personality or character trait that can reliably predict who's going to be a great teacher. Instead, teaching is all about specialized skill and knowledge that nobody is born with, because it just doesn't come naturally. It's actually all quite counterintuitive. So, you know, take subject matter. It's really not enough to know a subject very well to teach it. You also have to know how students and children are going to misunderstand the subject. You have to know how to represent the subject in a clear way. Think about being a reader. You know, it's one thing to be an adult who knows how to read. It's quite another thing to realize that to teach children to read, you have to explain to them why, for example, certain letter combinations sound differently in different words. As expert practitioners, we don't think about that at all. But teachers have to think about that. And not only do they have to acknowledge how children are going to see the words, they're going to have to also find ways to teach them to do it. So it's really quite different to know something and to teach it. And that's a skill that we need to help teachers acquire.
It's almost where a teacher is almost like a department manager in a factory. You don't want to ask Tony to do something that you know Tony's going to be shaky at doing. You want to have maybe Sid do it, show Tony how to do it, so Tony will understand it.
Exactly. I mean, it's inefficient and unfair to ask all 3.7 million teachers in this country to solve the complex challenge of how to help students learn on their own. It just doesn't make sense. It makes much more sense for teachers to work together on that problem. And also for us as a community to say, we'd actually want to help you, before you even get to the classroom, know some of the common mistakes that students are going to make, some of the techniques that are going to help you help those students learn. And especially given that so many of those techniques are counterintuitive, it's really important to spell them out for teachers before they start. Otherwise, they're going to each be reinventing a very complicated wheel on their own.
Elizabeth Green, her book Building a Better Teacher, How Teaching Works and How to Teach It to Everyone. She's also the co-founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of Chalkbeat, chalkbeat.org on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Certainly with here in New Jersey, other states as well, how teachers are graded and whether or not they get tenure or even keep their jobs in some cases has been changing. And a lot of people are concerned that if you place too much pressure on the teacher, they'll be afraid to teach. Is that something that is a right path to take? Do teachers have to understand performance and responsibility have to go hand in hand?
Yeah, so the debate about how to help teachers get better, I think, has been really polarized in an unfair way. So on the one hand, we have the argument that we need to hold teachers more accountable for their students' results. And the idea is that if we just start by measuring which teachers are effective and which teachers aren't, and then have real consequences for those who are able to help students learn well and those who aren't, we can get better. The other argument has been all these accountability regimes, you know, teacher evaluations, standardized tests, actually hold teachers back. This is a creative profession, and each individual needs to have the space to do what they know is best. I think both of these sides are wrong. Simply holding teachers accountable will not be enough to help them get better. It's like imagining that you could get a student to learn algebra simply by giving them an algebra test with high stakes every day and saying, if by the end of the year you can't pass this test, you're fired. We also have to teach the student algebra, and we also have to teach the teacher how to teach. So, yes, let's hold teachers accountable, but let's also give them the supports they need, the materials they need, the time they need to get better. At the same time, you know, does it make sense to simply leave teachers alone and expect them to figure this out on their own? No, you can't just leave a student in a room and expect him to invent algebra, but that's what we do too often with teachers. So there has to be a middle ground where we actually invest in the supports and training that teachers need in addition to holding them accountable.
That's something you're right about, too. And you often hear teachers through their unions or just speaking out on their own, they have their specific training days, very small number of days over the course of a year, where other school systems in the world, training is almost an ongoing professional requirement, and because just every day brings about new challenges, so how can you condense a year's worth of challenges into a, you know, a 3-day weekend at a convention in Atlantic City?
Exactly. From my reporting of this book, I traveled to Japan, and I write about how that country, like several other countries in the world, treats this problem much differently than we do in the U.S. And in Japan, teachers spend an average of 600 hours a year instructing, and that leaves them with a lot of other hours open to learn together, work together on their craft. In the U.S., teachers spend almost double that amount of time on average, 1,000 hours or more, instructing, and that leaves them very little time to work on their craft. There's no better illustration of how this holds us back than the new Common Core standards in English and math. Teachers in districts around the country are getting an average of like one day to prepare to do something really, really complicated. And as you say, that's just not enough. Learning has to be embedded into the everyday life of a teacher.
And the idea of learning, as we wrap up our time with Elizabeth Green with her book, Building a Better Teacher, here on Issues and Ideas, the idea of learning traditionally is thought of as memorization. For example, here in New Jersey, we have a whole new realm of teaching science where you just don't sit there and have the kids memorize the periodic tables. You say, well, if we take this chemical and that chemical, what happens and why? They want the student now to explain the process and the results instead of just committing to memory and repeating like a parent now. So that presents a whole new spectrum of challenges for the teachers. And as you said, the time element is going to come into a greater play now.
Absolutely. And, you know, that higher expectation of what it means to learn something, more ambitious idea for students, is really backed up by the research on how people learn. When we memorize, we memorize within concepts. We have a framework. So we don't just memorize dates. We memorize them in conjunction with what they mean to us. And similarly, that's what the inverse of that is. How do we help teachers help students not just know the facts, but put them in a framework that will really help them remember it and retain that knowledge in the long term.
What Elizabeth does with building a better teacher is, as I said in the introduction too, it's not just teaching, is not just the mechanics. There is the emotion element involved as well. And she presents a very fair, very accurate presentation of that element, as well as give you a greater understanding as a teacher, as a parent, as a taxpayer who funds a school system, just the importance of value, potential of everyone who is dedicated to what is one of the toughest professions with the greatest amount of responsibility any person can willingly and voluntarily take on, that is being a teacher. Learn more about building a better teacher by getting a copy of your favorite means online, or if you still actually go to a bookstore these days, and learn more about Chalkbeat, of which Elizabeth is the co-founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of, chalkbeat.org on the web. Elizabeth, thanks so much for really helping us gain a much more detailed understanding and, in turn, a greater respect for who a teacher has to be and how they get to be, and thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.